Do you know what, Jen? I don't think I've ever looked better in my life. I think I'm at the peak of my physical prowess.
I think you are.
At the moment. And yeah. I would love to share that with people. I'd love people to be able to see me in the flesh.
It's selfish to keep this.
It is. This amount of radiance needs to be shared. So I thought what I would do is invite people along to see me in real life.
To be in the same room at the Museum of Comedy.
At the Museum of Comedy, because comedy is what I do most of the time.
And you belong in a museum.
No.
It was, how rude.
My self-esteem had climbed and now it's back down on the floor. But no, I love the Museum of Comedy and I'm going to go there and I'm going to take my raw magnetism with me on Wednesday the 24th of April.
Can I come too?
You can. Just try not to sort of detract from my glow, you know.
Okay.
We are going to have the magnificent Jenny Ryan, a magnificent guest.
Ooh.
TBA. Wednesday the 24th of April. Put it in your diaries. Bring your sunglasses because I am shining.
Yeah, get your tickets now. The link is in our social media or from the Museum of Comedy website.
Oh, please do come. Jen's all right as well.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What's your name?
Jenny Ryan.
Correct. What's my name?
Lucy Porter.
Correct. What are we doing?
We're making a podcast all about quizzing.
Correct. What's it called?
Fingers on Buzzers.
Correct. Hello and welcome to It's the Fingers on Buzzers Christmas special.
We're almost in harmony there. But
really,
really
not.
I apologise, listeners.
Yeah. But you're used to it by now, you know. We're so delighted to be hosting our virtual Christmas party.
Yay!
With loads of virtual guests. I've got some virtual vol-au-vents.
Yep, we're down at the virtual Crinkly Bottom Manor House.
We are awaiting the doorbell ringing with our fantastic guests. So we've asked a lot of people who are on this wonderful series to come back and ask us some questions. So they're going to be dropping by.
Their footprints will be crunching up the snowy path as we speak.
They will, bearing their whistles.
All the way up the driveway, which is it's very long because our virtual manor house is absolutely enormous.
We've both got our own wing of the virtual manor house.
Yeah, Amanda's got another.
Glamorous, so. And mine is scuzzy, and Amanda's, we're not allowed in.
Yeah. No, nowhere.
Nowhere.
We talked about this.
Yeah. It's her private space. So we will be having lots of brilliant quiz questions. But before we do, we're going to have a quick look at what's on the telly this Christmas.
It's a smorgasbord. Oh, it's all I can say.
And I love Christmas telly so much. And we've got our Radio Times's in front of us. I'm going to look at mine.
With the highlighter poised. And if you want quiz action this Christmas, it's pretty much wall to wall.
It is, and if you want to see both Jenny and I, and members of our family, in fact, you can see them in quizzing. What have you got going on this Christmas, Jen?
So we've got our usual Chase Christmas lineup. So Christmas Day and Boxing Day, we have got our specials where you'll see five of us chasers all taking part, and the fancy dress element does come through.
Love
There's
the
a
fancy
theme
dress
to one of the shows. The other one is just our Christmas party glamour.
Nice.
We've got some brilliant contestants and
Richard Herring.
That's good to say.
Richard, the most competitive man in the world. So,
he doesn't let his reputation slide in the competitiveness front. So those are definitely both worth looking forward to. But I know that regular Chase fans will appreciate even more the bloopers on the 27th.
Nice.
They've managed to find some more stuff on the cutting room floor, which is pretty humiliating
for
everybody involved.
Goes beyond Misty Hyman. It's the all new, all new Bradley losing it over funny things.
Yeah, that should be a hoot for your Boxing Day. No, day after Boxing. Boxing Day. Is that a thing? Like you have Christmas Eve, like the 23rd. You get Boxing Day.
Yeah. And then Boxing Day.
I have made that up, but it's now a thing.
Yeah.
And a bit sooner than that, there's a show that I took part in called Bradley Walsh's How to Win a Game Show.
Well, I will be interested in that because I'd love to win a game show.
It's a bit of a behind the scenes peek behind all the curtains, and we look at some great contestants and why they were great contestants. Not just the chase, but we're looking at all sorts of game shows. Apparently, old Mulhern is giving his
Steven.
deep inside knowledge about Mr. Chips.
How to beat Mr. Chips.
At his own game. I mean, not many have succeeded versus Mr. Chips. So that's going to be a very insightful thing for... Well, anybody basically who's listening to this, because you must all be game show fans.
Yes, if you haven't been on one, you probably will be at some point.
Yeah, so this is, it's all useful information.
And I believe we also get some secrets of the Chasers' grueling regimes.
Yes, some inside knowledge. At least two of us are making an appearance in a talking heads format, which I'm wondering how much of what I said actually made it, because some of it is just too useful.
Yeah, we don't want everybody knowing how to win a game show, because then there'll be no fun in it, will there?
No, exactly. We want some losers as well as winners. But you're going to be gracing our screens over Christmas.
I am. I was delighted to be asked to take part in Celebrity Mastermind, which is on...
It's not just Celebrity Mastermind, though, is it?
Well...
Celebrity Mastermind of Celebrity Mastermind.
If you push me, Jen, to call it Champion of Champions, I will. So, me, Zoe Lyons, Miles Jupp and Neil Hannon, it was such a delightful group of people. It's like a fantasy dinner party of quizzing. And it was tremendous fun. We recorded that during lockdown. So there's lots of me not being allowed to launch myself at John Humphreys as I otherwise would have done, obviously.
We know
how
feelings.
I feel about John Humphreys, definitely. But he was charming and delightful, and I felt bad for what I called him in our live show. But... it was all tremendous fun, and that is on. So that's on the 28th, or Boxing Day.
Oh, my Auntie Vic's birthday.
Yes.
I know she does listen. So
yes,
Boxing Day, aka Vic's birthday,
and my son's birthday.
Oh, what a day it is!
Masses of celebration to be had there. So I've done that, and my husband is also quizzing over the Christmas period. He has done University Challenge.
He's been
really keen to do this ever since I did it a few years ago. I said how much fun it was, and he has, he couldn't do it. I think they asked him to do it a couple of years ago, couldn't do it anyway. So this year he's finally been able to do it, and him and Aid Edmondson and Juliet Jacques and David Knott are the team for Manchester.
Wow.
So you'll have to see how they get on, and that was on, I think that's on the 22nd.
Very strong lineup again.
Yes.
Those are the kind of lineups that I hear, and I'm thinking that better not be a Celebrity Chase team in future, because we're done for.
Yeah, well, Aid Edmondson, I mean, I'm not going to give anything away about how they do, but Aid Edmondson was brilliant, and I did not know that he has cartography in the family. I think his dad was a map maker.
Wow.
So I did a little run through. It was brilliant. I did a Zoom run through where I was Paxman, and I have never felt more mighty.
The dream.
Yes. And Aid Edmondson was fantastic on all geography and flags and maps and everything like that. So that was really good. And Juliet Jack was brilliant on sport and football and politics and history. And David Knott is a brilliant medical brain. So they're a strong team, and I would look out for them on the 22nd.
I'm excited already.
Yeah.
Wow, we've got a lot to look forward to over Christmas. Not just the usual films, which I always look forward to.
The heavy Kung Fu Panda. I saw BBC are going very heavy on Kung Fu Panda, which I approve of.
I mean, it'll make us hungry for noodles. Well, and then we get turkey.
And I'll have a fight, almost inevitably. Think I can do martial arts. So yeah, it's going to be an amazing Christmas. But what's going to be even more amazing is the Fingers on Buzzers Christmas special, which is happening right now.
Oh, any guests arriving? Mm. Do I hear bells?
Oh, who could that be?
Hi, Hi, it's Pavo.
Oh, from WTAF and This Country Podcast, and we just wanted to wish all of you at Fingers on Buzzers a very happy Christmas. Isn't that right, Neil?
A very happy Christmas indeed, Pav. We wish them all wonders and joys and everything.
Indeed. Now, we've got a question for you, so here you go. Our very own Daisy May Cooper has been smashing it in the latest series of Taskmaster. Do you know the name of the superhero that she dresses up as in the tasks? So, what's the question again, Neil?
So, here we are. Our very own Daisy May Cooper has been smashing it on the latest series of Taskmaster. Do you know the name of the superhero that she dresses up as in the tasks?
Oh, how lovely to hear from those boys.
What absolute superstars.
Merry Christmas to WTAF and all who sail in her.
What a mighty podcast they are. They are devoted to this country.
With them, and I love this country. In fact, I did ask to choose this country as my special subject on Mastermind.
Oh.
But I think I can probably say it already been done.
Oh, my goodness.
So there you go.
Wow.
Anyway, so I don't know.
You don't know? You've not been watching it?
I know.
Go on then.
She's Achievement Woman.
Hey!
So she's got a cape which has been embroidered with lots of certificates of all her achievements throughout her life.
Oh,
it's beautiful.
Amazing. Oh, well, there we go. Thank you
very much. I hope that's the right answer now. Yes. I sounded very confident, didn't I?
Find out.
Okay, so your answer to the question, and the question again, Neil, is...
Our very own Daisy May Cooper has been smashing it on the latest series of Taskmaster. Do you know the name of the superhero that she dresses up as in her tasks?
And it is, of course, Achievement Woman. There you go. I hope one of you got it right. Thank you very much. Thank you. And also thank you for giving us one of the funnest nights we've had with our This Country Fingers on Buzzers quiz mashup that we did. Have a lovely Christmas. Have a happy new year and stay safe.
Oh, thanks, guys. Oh, we'd love to hear from those boys in the West Country.
They are the best. Oh. Hello in the Cotswolds. Hope you're having a lovely Cotswolds Christmas.
Oh. I think I can hear somebody else.
Oh, my goodness. Oh. Like all the best parties, isn't it? Where, you know, no one turns up for ages and then suddenly everybody's left it fashionably late.
You have to mix drinks for everyone then, and that's a nightmare scenario.
I'll go and mull some more wine.
Oh, please do.
Oh, a knock. Oh. Didn't decide to use the bell.
No.
Interesting. Old school.
Hello. And Yuletide felicitations and whatnot. It's Stephen Allen here, long-time listener, first-time caller. I'm a big fan of your podcast. I love quizzing. I watched loads growing up. It didn't give me the same massive knowledge that you two have got, but I am good at asking people if they've got funny stories about their honeymoon. Basically, I miss the Bob Monkhouse days of quizzing. Anyway, I would have been there, but there's a pandemic on, and also wasn't invited. So those two together means I'll have to do this remotely. I've got a quiz question for you. As you may remember, when I was a guest on your show, before I did all of this stand-up lark, I was a chemist. So here's the chemistry question. What was the most recently discovered element?
Wow. Ooh, lovely question.
Wow.
I mean, I feel, aren't there lots of sort of theoretical elements that don't actually exist, but they think they should or something?
Yeah, they do, but it's not been 100% proven. I think it goes up to about 118 or 119, because the ones at the bottom for so many years had a name based around the number. So unoctium was 118-ium.
Oh.
But they've all then been now renamed, and they've been named after scientists.
Oh, so we need to think
of it. So it could be like Mendelevium or something like that.
Oh, yeah, okay. I mean, I was thinking, is it like hurricanes where they've started just naming them randomly alphabetically?
They'll name one after you eventually, Lisa.
Oh, God, I really hope so. Lucinium.
Well, there's Lutetium, which is almost like your name.
Anything
and that's named
Jenny?
After... There is no J on the periodic table. Did
yes,
you know that?
That's a great question.
There
that's
we go. No letter J. It's the only letter. Very
on
sad.
On the periodic table.
I'm not very good at chemistry. It's not my... It's not my oeuvre.
It's not, nor is it mine. You'll be
so I might stick with unonoctium and hope that Steve gives us the point.
Unonoctium, okay. Well, I'm going to just think of any scientist that, I mean, I literally now my brain is going, I can't think of anything. Stephen Hawking, I've got nothing.
Stephen Hawkingium.
Hawkingium. It might have been a nice tribute to Stephen Hawking.
I'm pretty sure there isn't a Hawkingium, but
okay. What about, you know, Brian Cox, he's science, he Coxium. Coxium.
One, that sounds marvellous.
One mole of coxium.
Yeah, Steve, we think it's coxium.
Yeah, coxium.
Because we just like saying coxium.
The most recently discovered element was tennessine, which is one of those massive ones down the bottom of the periodic table, discovered in April 2010. Doesn't really do much, just rips apart straight away. Give me a good old-fashioned P block, which is a part of the periodic table. It's not a urinary. Do you know what? I'll leave it. Anyway, thank you very much for playing. Well done.
I think I was pretty close. I think tennessium, or whatever it was called, is one that was renamed.
Let's say
it's the new
right.
name. I'm going to give myself half a point.
And I'm going to give myself half a point because if there is a new element, I bet they're going to call it coxium.
Oh, I forgot I had the new doorbell fitted. Yeah.
Hello, Lucy and Jenny. It's Tom Price here. Thank you so much for having me on Fingers on Buzzers this year. It was arguably the best part of my year, but there's a very low bar. Anyway, I've got a question for you. My question is this. In what state in America did a very mysterious monolith recently appear? In what state in America did a very weird metallic monolith recently appear?
Those have been
popping up all over.
I know. I feel like there's.
What was
been...
the first one?
Was it not Seattle? Was it not Washington State? Or...
I thought it was Utah.
Oh, maybe.
We're going up the top, aren't we? Top sort of left area.
It feels really. More like something that might happen in Utah.
I think it was. It's somewhere that's got sort of big, vast, deserty national park.
Okay.
If I was pushed, if it's me answering on my own, I would say Utah. But you
go
were going
on.
Washington,
no,
weren't
no,
you?
I'll
so
go with Utah for you. I'm yeah. very happy.
We'll never find out what they are.
Aliens. Well, they've disappeared. Didn't it disappear again?
Someone took it down because they were annoyed. They was getting attention.
One appeared on the Isle of Wight.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
The rumour is it's an artist collective. So the first one was put up by an artist collective and then they've spread the idea around. So they're popping up everywhere
nice.
Now.
Nice. Well, we'd love it's a monolith in here at Fingers on Buzzers Tower.
Yeah.
And the answer to the question is Utah. It is in the state of Utah that the monolith appeared. I think it's PR for the Mormons, but that's just my hunch. That's not factually accurate. But who cares about facts?
We usually care about facts, but I think a bit of speculation now and again does not go amiss.
If an Osmond pops out of it, maybe it's a hatching pod for Osmonds. Who knows?
I did wonder how they came about.
Yeah, there you go. Now you know.
Is anyone else approaching? Oh.
I feel my spidey sense is
something.
Tingling. Yeah. Yes. Oh yeah, I had that doorbell put in.
Hi, Lucy and Jenny. It's Bethany Black. My question for you is: what is the name of the big boss of Team Rocket from the Pokemon series, and which Pokemon is always with him?
The big boss of Team Rocket.
Well, Team Rocket are Jesse and James, and they've got Meowth with them. But
so Meowth is always with them.
Yeah, but they must have a boss because they're sort of underlings and they're always plotting, but it always goes awry because they're not very good. Mm. Unless it involves like dressing up in some weird fancy dress situation and going undercover incognito, when you can always tell it's Jesse and James because they're not very subtle. You know what? I think she stumped us.
Well, I mean, I have been just sitting and nodding along.
I can guess a Pokemon for the... I will say Ekans is the snake they've always got with them. The Pokemon, it's the snaky one, and it'll be something a bit sinister, won't it?
Okay, and I think their boss...
Oh, make up
is
a great name.
B. Arthur.
Oh, that would be such a plot twist. I'm sure I'd remember it if it was B. Arthur, but yeah... Let's stick with that.
I was looking at a Golden Girls mug, so that is... I mean, I should... Full disclosure, that's why I said that, but I think it's... Yeah,
let's find out.
And the answer to that is Giovanni, and the Pokemon that he has with him at all times is Persian. I hope you have a very Merry Christmas. It was so lovely to be on the show. See you next year.
No.
Oh,
well,
Bethany
will be back for
us.
Our MCU quiz as well. We're doing that in the new year.
Oh, yeah. But I feel foolish now because Meowth is with Team Rocket.
Mm-hmm.
But the evolved version of Meowth is Persian.
Of course it is.
I was thinking more sinister. But what could be more sinister than a sneaky cat?
Yeah.
They're the best of animals, but they're also the worst of animals.
Oh, I've got two. They're awful.
They're amazing and dreadful.
Just awful. horrible creatures. Mine's been on a killing spree, so I'm not even...
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, God, how mice festive. Every day. I know, it's the 12 mice of Christmas for us. It's been ridiculous.
It shows that, you know, he cares.
I know, I just wish he bloody wouldn't. That's what I mean. Anyway, well done, Bethany. That was a brilliant question.
Yeah, great question.
I think I can hear somebody else approaching.
Who could it be?
It's like a Piccadilly Circus.
Oh, foghorn. That's the bell that I brought.
Happy Christmas to everybody on Fingers on Buzzers, to Lucy, to Jen, and also to Amanda behind the scenes. It's Neil Delamere here. It's an absolute joy to do, and it's always a joy to listen to as well. My trivia question is, who was the first person to win both an Oscar, an Academy Award, and a Nobel Prize?
That is a classic Delamere staple question, I think. That is vintage quiz. I've heard that question before, and it's one that you should know, and I'm looking at you.
Yeah,
like,
you're looking at my
you really
terrified
should know.
Face.
You know this, Lucy.
Well, I can work this out.
Come on. Yeah.
I can work this out. Who's a peaceful actor? Who is someone who's a...
I'll give you a clue. It's not for acting. It's not an acting Oscar.
Oh.
Because you don't win Nobel Prizes for acting.
It's a shame. I mean...
You win Nobel Prizes for and can win Oscars for? There's one thing that you can win for both.
Writing.
Yeah.
Okay, so somebody who won an Oscar for a movie and a Peace Prize.
Didn't win a Peace Prize.
And they didn't win a Peace Prize. No, Nobel Prize for writing.
Literature
prize. Oh, God,
literature,
well, look at me
laureate.
Just going...
I can give you the country, and it is very apt that it's Neil Delamere asking.
Oh, so it's an Irish writer.
Yeah.
Who won the Oscar? This is agony. I can only apologise to all the listeners.
Famous Irish playwright.
Who got this? Eugene O'Neill. George Bernard Shaw.
George Bernard Shaw.
George Bernard Shaw.
Pygmalion. There was a film of
Eugene
Pygmalion.
Eugene O'Neill's not Irish.
No. But it sounds as Irish as you can possibly get, though,
it does,
to be fair.
No, George Bernard Shaw, of course.
Yeah, Pygmalion and just for being George Bernard Shaw.
George Bernard Shaw. Yeah. Excellent. Well, that is a brilliant question. And
I'm
sorry
assuming I'm right. Maybe
to
I'm...
the Irish that I didn't get that.
To all of us. You
but you can have a Eugene O'Neill.
And the answer, as I'm sure you both know, is George Bernard Shaw. Nobel Prize for Literature. And then the Pygmalion Best Adapted Screenplay was the Oscar. And then Bob Dylan did it a few years later. Happy Christmas. Have a great 2021.
Oh, cheers, Neil.
Brilliant question.
It's a classic question, and I like that it stumped you.
Yeah, I know. Well, I don't, but, you know.
You'll never forget it now, though, because I absolutely tortured it out of you.
Yeah, you did. I went through so much agony there. It was actually the worst thing about 2020 for me, that.
Oh, hope someone turns up soon to relieve the tension.
I might leave.
Oh, back off.
Well, hello, Fingers on Buzzers Christmas special. This is Justin Morehouse, one of your bestest friends, and I had a lovely time on your podcast this year. I've got a question for you. Are you ready? What was the first original Disney song to win an Academy Award for Best Original Song? The options are Someday My Prince Will Come, Circle of Life, Beauty and the Beast, When You Wish Upon a Star.
Oh. Now, I like the fact that you have restrained yourself from singing them all, Jen, because I could see you were desperate to burst
into
all of those.
Yeah, but it's Mickey would come for us.
Yeah, we're really not allowed to sing a Disney song. So no. I love them all. Mm. And I have literally no idea whatsoever.
I'm just wondering
if Oscar's really not my strong suit.
If it could be a tricksy one, because I don't know how many of the older Disney films won.
So you think
Oscars.
It might be like Circle of Life?
Circle of Life's the latest one. That's The Lion King. That's 94.
Okay.
Beauty and the Beast was 91, 92. Beauty and the Beast, I think, was the first animated film to be nominated for Best Picture. Extra bit of fat for you there, guys.
Thank
I believe
you. It's not the fat we're after, though, Jen. That's the problem.
Had Someday My Prince Will Come is Sleeping
Cinderella?
Beauty.
Oh no,
Sleeping Beauty. I think it's Sleeping Beauty. And the other option was When You Wish Upon a Star.
Ooh,
Pinocchio.
I feel like
because that's really quite early.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with that one.
I'm pretty sure that should have won.
Should we both go with that?
If it didn't win. I'm demanding a recount of whatever the 1941 Oscars was, or whichever year.
Well, I might go because I know that Justin is a mischievous character.
Yes.
I might go for, I'll go for Circle of Life and then it will make it interesting.
Okay.
Because I liked your thinking of actually controversial. Maybe it's surprising. And yeah. I think maybe Justin's trying to surprise us.
And the answer is When You Wish Upon a Star. Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas, Lucy. Merry Christmas, Jenny. Merry Christmas, everybody. And I'll see you soon. Merry Quizmas.
You know, he sounded like he could be Father Christmas himself.
That was a very good audition for Quizzy Santa.
That was Santa quiz. Lovely.
Yeah, there you go. Our little Santa quiz, Justin Morehouse. Who will be next, I wonder?
Yeah. I know who that is.
They're playing Operation, whoever they are.
It's Angela Barnes here. Happy Christmas. So Amanda, the producer, has asked me to send you a Christmassy trivia question. Well, it didn't have to be Christmassy, but it is Christmas. So what I thought I'd do is give you a question based on my own personal obsession, which is with Cold War history. Happy Christmas. So my question is this, and there's two parts to the answer. So it is, which European communist dictator was shot dead on Christmas Day 1989 along with his wife Eleanor, and which country was he the leader of until that point? Obviously wasn't a great leader after that. So that's which communist dictator was shot dead on Christmas Day 1989 alongside his wife Eleanor, and which country was he the dictator of?
What a lovely cheery Christmas question, Angela.
I think it's Ceausescu, because I think it comes up in Christmas quizzes. I know she was saying it's not very cheery for a Christmas quiz, but it's definitely come up in a Christmas quiz.
Yeah, I feel like I remember that being Christmas.
Was that Romania?
Yeah, I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, good old Ceausescu. That's a memorable Christmas fact for you.
There you go.
Just if you don't want it all to be sweetness and light and gifts and happy tunes, just a bit of dictator death.
Yeah, if you need to bring the mood down. Sometimes we all do, don't we? So
at a certain point after your Christmas dinner, everyone just needs a bit of a mood dampener to lift it up again for the Christmas games later. That's what I say. So yeah, Ceausescu, Romania.
And the answer to the question is, it was, of course, Nicolae Ceausescu, the dictator of Romania. Yay! I hope you have a lovely Christmas, and I'll keep listening to Fingers on Buzzers because I think it's absolutely brilliant, and hopefully I'll see you in the real world in 2021. How exciting would that be? By the way, this is me, Angela Barnes. I'm not Jenny Ryan. I only wish I were the vixen, but alas, I know a lot about the Cold War and that's about it. Happy Christmas, Happy New Year. See you on the other side.
I'm pretty sure that it would cause a rift in the space-time continuum if I was in the same postcode as Angela Barnes.
Yeah, let's not find out. Yeah, enough has gone wrong in recent times to meddle with that. Yeah.
Maybe this all went wrong when we decided to have Angela on the podcast. We put her on the list and it was like, you know, the universe went, calm down, ladies.
Sorry, guys. Sorry we did that.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Somebody else said they were coming
as well. Goodness me, well, we've not got capacity. I've made enough on the vomit.
Rule of six, be damned.
Who's this then?
Oh. Sorry, it's Nick Helm here. And my question is, well, in his later life, which of his neighbours did Cary Grant steal and then later agree to co-own a cat from? In his later life, long after he'd done loads of LSD, which of his neighbours did Cary Grant... Sex symbol, 1950s sex symbol, Cary Grant... steal and then agree to co-own their cat? Have I said that right? Which of his neighbours did he steal... Their cat from 1950s sex symbol Cary Grant. He stole a cat from one of his neighbours. Wow. Which neighbour was it?
I don't think we could have wished for a more Nick Helm question.
It's a brilliant Nick Helm question. And if Nick Helm doesn't get his own quiz show, I will be very angry about that.
With material like that, it's if amazing. He's writing the questions, I'm 100% in.
Yep.
This is baffling fascinating at the same time.
I thought I knew a lot about Cary Grant. I've read his autobiography, but you probably didn't mention the cat stealing.
Not the cat theft, no.
What you really need is a biography.
Expose of all his animal crimes.
Well, who would he have lived next door to?
Yeah, later life. So we're talking...
Angela Lansbury. I can imagine those two having a right old ding-dong about.
He would have lived somewhere reek posh in, like, Hollywood, Beverly Hills. I'm wondering if someone like Hugh Hefner.
Could have been one of Hefner's pussies.
Ho, ho, ho.
Or like Mae West, like a real sort of, you know, a Hollywood legend.
But yeah, that was like his film, big Hollywood debut was with her.
She'd done him wrong.
But
or
I don't know when she popped off. Because he said later life.
Yeah. And this could be anybody. West, so it could be literally anyone in Hollywood, couldn't it? Meg Ryan.
Unless he'd moved back to Bristol. So it's Justin Lee Collins. No.
Banksy. I mean, who knows? Nick's going to have to put us out of our misery.
Wow, another stumper.
It's brilliant, though. We'll never forget this.
And the answer is Alice Cooper's manager, Shep Gordon. Merry Christmas, motherfuckers. Have a lovely, lovely, socially distanced time.
We should have known there'd be an Alice Cooper connection, actually.
Or Schlesinger. We should have said John Schlesinger or Alice Cooper.
Yeah, that was definitely a question which was play the man, not the ball.
Yes, you're exactly right. But even then, I don't think I'd have guessed Alice Cooper's manager. Shep Gordon.
Great bit of trivia.
Anyway,
to be honest, Nick, I probably would have asked it the other way around.
Yes.
But like, yeah, the answer be Cary Grant.
Legend. Or what did they fight over?
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm
quite loath to criticise Nick because it would result in a nasty incident outside a pub next time I see him.
Oh, now do I hear somebody else?
Ooh. Trip-trapping over our bridge.
They're not even coming up the path anymore. They're just directly dropping down from
the chimney. Oh, the window.
Hello, ladies. A very merry Christmas to you both. Kate Thornton here with a festive question for you. Not a tricky one. I've kept it easy. After all, it is the season of goodwill and 2020 has been horrific. So my question to you is about Father Christmas. We know that Father Christmas wears a lovely red suit, but why? Is that because Coca-Cola decided that that's how he should look and he'd always previously worn other coloured suits? Or not? True or false? Father Christmas wears his red suit because Coca-Cola made it that way.
Well, it's a brilliant question from Kate Thornton there.
Yeah, because that is the urban legend.
But
I don't know if it's an urban legend that is actually true.
Yeah, I feel that... Oh, yeah, I'm really torn with this one because I believe it to be true, Jen.
Yeah, if not the originators of the red and white suit, Coca-Cola definitely spread it across the world. Yeah. There were I think there were images of him before with a green and white suit.
Exactly, green was the colour that he wore, I think.
But it's lovely and festive, isn't it? I'd like it to be true, even though commercialism and, you know, capitalist society, all that kind of nonsense.
It's Christmas.
It's Christmas. Red and white. Let's down another pint of rum and coke.
Come on, Kate. What's the answer?
The answer is false, actually. Father Christmas has, over the years, had a multiple set of suits of different colours, green, blue and red. But Coca-Cola went with the red because it matched their branding. And it was a bid on their part to try to convince people that Coca-Cola wasn't just a drink for a hot day, it was a drink for a cold day. Ho, ho, ho.
Warmed Coca-Cola. Mulled Coca-Cola.
No, thank you. But as you say, they did popularise it.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. I think
we can hold on to that association.
Half a point.
Yeah, I think so. Good question, though. Thank you, Kate.
Thanks, Kate.
I think there's still a few more people to arrive.
Wow,
actually.
I hope we've got enough carver. Well, I can tell who that is from that ring.
Hi, Lucy. Hi, Jenny. It's Sean Williamson here, formerly Barry from EastEnders and now a quiz freak. It's great to be part of your Christmas show, a Fingers on Buzzers Christmas special, and it was a pleasure to be a guest of yours earlier in the year. Now, I've got a question for you. Now, my question is, Roger Fenton is considered to be the world's first war photographer. Roger Fenton. My question is, which conflict did he photograph? Roger Fenton is considered to be the world's first war photographer. Which conflict did he photograph? Good luck!
Well, do you know, that is a brilliant question, as we would expect from
Yes.
Sean. He is someone who knows
no
about
less.
Quizzing. Right, so we're going to sort of go early 20th century, do you think?
I think that would be your instinct, but I've got a suspicion it's earlier than that.
Do you think so?
But I'm not sure how far back it could be.
Well, when was Crimean? That was like 1850s or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, so it was middle of the 19th century. My instinct was to say Crimean, but that is quite a long time ago. It could be the American Civil War.
That's a brilliant answer, and I am going to go with that one.
Yeah.
That just really...
I think it's certainly going to be the 19th century rather than the 20th century.
Yeah.
I know it became much more widespread in the 20th century, but there could have been photos taken back then.
Yes, and that's... I think
other than that, later than that, you've got the Boer War, which would be very late 19th century. But
I think American Civil War is a brilliant answer.
This is not our area of expertise, and I think we've come up with some good options, and we're going to plump for the American Civil War,
definitely.
The answer is Roger Fenton photographed the Crimean War. Okay, the American Civil War was the first war to be mass photographed. But the first known photographs of a conflict were Roger Fenton's photographs of the Crimean War. Have a great Christmas. Have a cool Yule, everybody. All the best.
Thank you, Sean.
That was a great question.
Our working out was impeccable.
We were around it, weren't we?
We just went to the wrong final choice.
We talked ourselves out of the correct answer. I think it was a bit too early.
That's a really good question, though.
Very good question.
Roger Fenton is a name I will never forget.
I thought he was going to say Roger Federer to start with, and I was like, we're in tennis, come on.
Fenton? I know, that's all I could think of was Fenton the dog.
Is that his full name? The dog's full name.
Who could be coming next?
Who's arriving now to our bumper Christmas do?
It's really warming up now.
Too many people in here, sweating.
Oh, they're on the phone, I think, so we can get that.
Oh, yeah, sorry, I'll just pick up my landline here.
Hello, Jenny. Hello, Lucy. Here I am, Les Dennis, in my dressing room at the Theatre Royal Plymouth, just before I become Mrs. Crusoe. And, oops, hope I'm not as tipsy as she is. So, my question to you is, and it's a hard one, this, it's a movie question. Name the actor who only did 5 movies in his lifetime. Only made 5 movies. 4 of them won at least one Oscar, and the 5th was Oscar nominated. So that's 5 movies, all Oscar nominated, and 4 won at least one Oscar. That's quite a hit ratio. What was the actor's name?
Now, and it's Meryl Streep's boyfriend, isn't it?
Yep.
and he did the conversation.
Yep.
And I've totally blanked on his name.
John
Cassavetes.
That's the one.
Gosh, thank goodness we pulled that out.
I only recently found out that he dated Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
Because he was such an amazing actor and he's got such range.
Yeah.
And such a short career.
I know.
Really, but every single film he's in is absolutely worth watching.
Yeah, I know. Imagine what could have been.
Yeah.
Anyway, happy Christmas, everyone.
That's very cheery, but yeah, that is an absolute starter list of top movies. If you've not got into serious movie watching.
Well, this Christmas, none of us can go anywhere, let's face it. Exactly. So let's all just sit at home and watch John Cassavetes' movies.
Yeah, it's a great start anyway. That'll last you a couple of days and then move on to Streep.
Yeah, and then that's going to take you into 2022 when hopefully all this awfulness will be over. But if you were sort of thinking, oh, what was going on with Les in his dressing room, you will be able to see that, we promise. We're going to put it on
shenanigans.
Twitter. Yes, panto shenanigans of the finest order.
So I should imagine you found that quite difficult. Here is your answer. The answer is the great John Cazale. John Cazale played Fredo in The Godfather, Godfather 2 as well, was also in Dog Day Afternoon, Deer Hunter, and The Conversation, the one that was Oscar nominated but didn't win anything. So there you have it. John Cazale is the answer.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, thank you, Liz. I got my John's wrong.
Yeah, but it's easy done after this much champagne.
I know, I got my John's, but it was basically the right answer, except I just went on a bit after John Cazale and John Cassavetes. Who is John Cassavetes?
He's a director, but I should have corrected you, but I thought it sounded so convincing. He was so confident with the whole thing.
Yes.
Now it's the season of goodwill. We're not going to pull each other up on our clanging errors.
It's fine. It was half a point.
We'll just leave that to Les Dennis. He'll give us the money himself.
If it was up there, he would have given me the money himself. But it wasn't. But so yeah, it turns out it was a very hard question and I got it wrong. But in a delightful way. Almost right. There can't be any more guests coming. I mean, we've got... If Les is at the party...
We're at capacity now. We've peaked, surely. Surely to goodness.
Surely.
I'm sure that there's still a couple of people on the guest list that said they were coming.
Well, they've probably been to another party.
Turn up. Oh, there is somebody at the door, yeah.
Egg timer?
There is no need to be this persistent.
Hello, James Acaster here, posing a question to you on this Christmas quiz. The question is, what is the only dog that does not have a pink tongue? The only breed of dog that doesn't have a pink tongue.
Absolutely baffled by that.
I love this question.
I don't know this.
I'm glad, you know, he may have turned up fashionably late, but I'm pleased that James came.
And he also did sound like he was presenting a regional drive time show. It was beautiful.
It's the best way to approach everything, I think, is just pretend you're Partridge and,
Go on, I'm going to let you stew a bit if you want to have a go.
Okay, so it's got to be something a bit unusual as the dog breed. Something very big or very small, maybe? Mm. Is it like a husky?
No. It's not an epic dog like that. It's distinctive looking. Not super popular these days, not in the same way it probably was in the 70s and 80s. I feel it's a bit more of a trendy dog.
I've got to think of dogs that I have loved. Dogs whose tongues I've seen.
I think it's a blue tongue or a black tongue it's got. It's got a very dark
tongue. A popular dog in the 70s and 80s.
I've probably just made that
a
up.
A Bichon Frise or a...
No. That's probably a bit more... 90s into 2000, the Bichon Frise.
Okay, 70s dog. What would Margot have had in The Good Life? What would she have had?
Yeah, it's a trendy kind of dog.
I don't think I'm going to get it.
I think it's a Chow.
Okay, yes.
A Chow. Yeah, I want to say a blue tongue.
That sounds incredibly plausible.
I might have just made this up, or I've heard it in a quiz before.
Yeah, well,
so
I'm
it's usually one of
that.
The two. I've dreamed it, or it's been a question. I don't know actual facts. I just learn things via the medium of quiz or just making them up.
Or just dreaming about them.
Yep.
Well, let's see if James Acaster had the same dream as you did.
The answer is a Chow. A Chow has a blue tongue. Merry Christmas.
That was the most Acaster thing. That sign-off. Cho has a blue tongue. Merry Christmas. Merry Bye. Christmas. Out.
Yeah, understated Dump. But brilliant. Yeah. And I have to say, I'm so impressed with you tonight, Jen.
Aww. Despite the alcohol, I'm coming up with some facts.
Clearly it suits you. Clearly a little bit of...
I shan't be doing the chase after booze. No, but...
Yeah, we've discussed this before. You can reach sort of peak...
There is a definite tipping point. Yes. No pun intended.
I've gone beyond as my John Cassavetes...
John Cazale,
exactly.
Yeah. We can watch all of Cassavetes' movies after John Cazale.
Oh, John Cazale. Thank you.
Well, there's still one more person that said that they were going to come. Oh, do you know what?
Here
they bloody well are.
Oh, my goodness. Oh. Is it Santa?
Better.
So. Better than Santa? Not possible, surely.
Hello, it's Michael Sheen here.
Actually better than Santa.
My question is...
What are the six territories widely considered to be the Celtic nations?
Yeah.
Wow.
It is such
He's
an on-brand...
sticking to the theme, isn't he? Yes.
On-brand question for the Welshman himself.
I don't even really understand what this means, Jen.
So the Celtic nations quizzing is, at the moment,
Scotland, Wales, and Ireland. So Cornwall, are they Celts?
Yes.
They're Celts. Like Normandy, some bit of northern France, or, Brittany? Or
Bretons.
Bretons, yeah. Maybe, Brittany.
And I also think the Basque people are Celts.
Okay, yeah.
Because when we did our family DNA history, It turns out that we're Celts all the way back from the Basque country.
Oh, yeah. Very good.
I'm noted for my very Basque colouring. Apparently there is a subset of people in the Basque country who have ginger features.
Okay. Yes.
Pale and semi-interesting.
Easily burned. Well,
I think we've got a good shout there, and I hope we're not in trouble from Santa/Michael if we get these wrong.
I know. I mean, gosh,
we're on the naughty list.
We
possibly
really wouldn't want to disappoint him, but I think that sounds good to me. Tell us, Michael.
And the answer is Wales, of course, Scotland, Ireland, Cornwall, Brittany, and the Isle of Man. A very Merry Christmas to you. Ho, ho, ho.
I mean, we were so close.
We were so, but with that ho, 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 I don't feel like we've lost at all.
No, and I think... And I mean,
we're all winners.
Who could forget about the Isle of Man, one of the most vibrant places in these islands. So here's cheers to you,
cheers.
And Douglas.
Yes.
And wherever else there is
Peel.
On the Isle of Man. And Peel.
Peel, ma'am.
What a treat it has been having all of those lovely voices.
Oh,
cheers to
cheers.
Them.
Cheers.
Just
cheers to all
cheering.
Our guests.
And cheers to all of you, our listeners. But the fun is not going to stop now.
No, can't do now. We've not peaked yet.
We have got one more final treat, which is, you may remember that lovely Michael Cannon, who was on our show a few weeks ago, he said he was going to do us a melodica musical quiz.
Wow.
And what better way to play out 2020 than with music on a melodica?
There is no other way.
So the way we're going to do this is Michael has sent us five Christmas tunes that he's played on his melodica, and we're going to listen and enjoy, and Jenny and I will write them down and compare notes at the end.
You can do so at home as well.
Do you
look at this. It's very
play
alongable.
It is, isn't it? This is a great format. Melodica madness.
Hi, Lucy and Jenny. It's listener Mike Cannon here, back as promised. But this time I've got my melodica with me. I'm going to play you five Christmas carols, some better known than others. And I'd like you to tell me the names of them. So let's start with an easy one. Here is number one. Okay, here's number two, slightly trickier. Here's number three. And number four. And last one, number five.
Now, the thing I hadn't appreciated about playing Christmas carols on the melodica is it makes them all sound really sad, doesn't it?
The minor key is very much in play.
Very tragic quality. So I've really only 1 and 3 I'm confident with, and then 2, 4, and 5 I'm
struggling on 4 and 5 myself.
So 1 is Once in Royal David City, right?
Heart the Herald Angels, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, Heart the Herald Angels.
Very confident, very confidently wrong. There was one I was utterly baffled on, which was 4. I'm nowhere on that. 5 I'd heard before, but 4 I don't feel I've ever heard before.
Well, 2 I thought, is it It Came Upon the Midnight Clear?
I got O Come O Come Emmanuel.
Okay, maybe, yeah. I
don't know.
Sure. 3 I had In the Bleak Midwinter.
Same. We agree on something, at
least. Okay, yes. Well, I was very confident about Once in Royal David City, which I now realise was Heart There an Angel Sing. We didn't have Once in Royal David City, did we at all? What's the Coventry Carol? That's one that, you know, always pops up in these things.
I've heard it, but...
Let's say one of them is the Coventry Carol.
Let's say all of them are the Coventry Carol.
Let's say 4, because we've got no idea.
Yeah, because we know we're on that.
And what did you think 5 was?
Nothing. I've got... That is something I've heard before, but it's baffled me in a melodica format.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm going to claim disadvantage in that there are certain carols that are familiar to... Church of England churchgoers.
Ah, yes.
That I went to Catholic school and we wouldn't have had those ones. And we had a different set of hymns and all that sort of stuff.
I will claim that as well, but to be honest,
you just weren't listening.
A very poor excuse.
Yeah.
That's
a great quiz. I'm sure there are church going people at home who've got all 5 straight away and are thinking, What a bunch of idiots are hosting this show.
My family will be furious with me for this. So that's always a good way to end the year with your family. They can't be furious with me in person, so they can be furious with me virtually.
It's very traditional, though, to have people fall out with you over a quiz. Yeah. Remotely.
Yeah, it's fine.
What say you, Mike?
Lovely playing, by the way.
Beautiful.
Okay, let's go through some answers. So 1 was Hark the Herald Angels Sing. 2 was O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. 3, In the Bleak Midwinter. 4, As With Gladness, Men of Old. And 5, The Coventry Carol. Hope you all enjoyed that, and thank you so much for having me on. Hope you and all the other listeners have a fab Christmas and a great 2021.
Thank you.
That was beautifully
much.
Played.
We love you, Mike.
I'm claiming between us we got 4 out of 5 because if I just had blanks there and you said what's the Coventry Carol, I just wrote down Coventry Carol for 4 and 5. Hedge my bets.
That's enough.
But I've never 4 never heard of that in my life.
I don't
definitely
even know
wasn't
what
done.
It is now.
Definitely wasn't sung at Thornleigh Salesian College.
No.
No way.
No, St Alphege's Roman Catholic School did not.
No,
teach that either. So, but do you know what? We will go and listen to it now. In fact, maybe we should play out with it
on our melodicas. Whip them out, ladies.
It's been a joy doing this Christmas special. Thank you so much to Mike Cannon and to all of our celebrity guests who popped in.
Such a cast list we've had today.
It was star-studded is what it was, Jen.
Joyful.
But to the person or people that we wish to thank the most, obviously, Amanda.
Woo!
For putting it all together. Always the wind beneath our wings. And of course, and mostly, you, the listener who have been with us this year.
Through thick and thin, and there's been a lot of thin.
It's been
and
really
we've been
thin.
Quite thick sometimes.
Once in Royal David City, John Cassavetes. I mean, I've got a lot to think about and learn for 20. I've got a lot of resolutions to make for 2021, let's put it that way. But one of them is that to come back with another series of Fingers on Buzzers very, very soon in the new year.
It's season 5.
Is it?
Wow. Christ. We are absolutely chalking up the numbers now. And it's going to be, I don't know, I was going to say it's going to be bigger and better than ever, but I'm not sure how we can top that list of celebs that we've had on this year. Absolute stars, all of them. We've just heard them.
And such lovely people.
We're just going to have them back on again, aren't we?
No, let's just do the whole thing again next year, except without coronavirus. And
restart.
Yeah, let's just press, here we go. I'm going to press the button now. I'm Control-Alt-Deleting. Good luck, everyone. Yeah, that's right. Right, everything's fine now. So Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to you, our wonderful, glorious, gorgeous listeners.
We love you.
We love you, and we'll be back next year with more
Fingers on buzzers.
Would have sounded better on the melodica, quite frankly. Mike, get on it, please.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Fingers on Buzzers starred Lucy Porter and Jenny Ryan and was produced by Amanda Redman with music by Kevin MacLeod and Justin Edwards. Email quiz at fingersonbuzzers.com and tweet at fingersbuzzers. Thanks for listening and don't forget to join us next time for more Fingers on Buzzers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.